So today, first of all, it's a tremendous schuss to be able to continue learning with everyone, to see everyone on the screen, and to be able to have the opportunity to learn even during this time is a great schuss. Let me just close this. Okay, today what I want to talk about is making kiddush on scotch or whiskey. Many people have the minug, many people do, many people don't, many feel very strongly about it. Before the quarantine, I was at someone's house who said that he has a minug going back hundreds of years in his family, that they only make kiddush on scotch or whiskey. So let's discuss that a little bit today so we understand it a little bit more. If you look at the source sheets that I gave you, it's somewhat explicit in the Shulchan Aruch that in the absence of wine, we have other options for what it is that we are and are not allowed to make kiddush on. So, and I apologize, the sources are not numbered, but thank God we all have brains. We can figure out source number one on page number one. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Pei Tes Siv Beis, B'makom she'ein yayin matzoi, have sheichar v'shar mashkin, that if I do not have wine accessible, then I can use beer or other drinks. Chutz min ha'mayim. But what I should not use is water. Chamar medina mekadshin alav, v'im ein lo sheichar v'shar mashkin, ochel below kiddush. And if I don't have that accessible at all, if I don't have any beer, then I can eat without kiddush. So it's somewhat explicit in the Shulchan Aruch that in the absence of wine, I have other options. What option is that? That is none other than beer. The Mishnah Berurah writes a very important qualification. He says, "V'dafka b'makom d'havei chaver medina, d'hainu she'ein yayin matzoi." He actually offers two qualifications. He says, number one, this only works, and we'll see, the Mishnah Berurah is going to say this later on as well, that it's d'hainu she'ein yayin matzoi. In other words, this isn't necessarily a l'chachila. This is, if you do not have wine, then we have other options. Implicit in that is that if I do have wine, what should I choose? I should choose wine. Number two, what the Mishnah Berurah spells out, is dafka b'makom d'havei chaver medina. In other words, this is not open to all drinks. This is only open to a very specific, limited category of drinks. That's called chaver medina. Therefore, let's continue the Mishnah Berurah. V'dafka b'makom d'havei chaver medina, d'hainu she'ein yayin matzoi. Right, this is only where you have chaver medina. In other words, you can't use any drink. We have to classify and characterize exactly what chaver medina is going to be. D'hainu she'ein yayin matzoi b'chol ha'ir b'shana hazo, where wine is simply not accessible. It's not easily found. V'ikr sh'tiyasan hu mishechar v'shar mashkin. And because wine is not easily found, people are drinking other beverages like beer. Vim yesh sham yayin. But what happens if I do have wine? Ella shehu b'yoker. But let's say wine is very expensive or the economy is not doing well. Mikri matzoi. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's still considered matzoi. In other words, that wouldn't be a heter in and of itself to use another beverage. But in that case, you would still have to use wine. So up until now, we've seen the Shulchan Aruch and we've seen the Mishnah Berurah. The Shulchan Aruch was quite expansive. It says that if you do not have wine, you have other options, and that is you can use beer. The Mishnah Berurah limits that just a little bit and explains that there are two important qualifications to that. Qualification number one is that it can't just be any drink. It has to be what we would classify halachically as chamer medina, which again, we have to describe what that is. And number two, he says quite explicitly, is that this is only when wine is not easily found. But implicit in that comment is that if wine is easily found, then what do you and I have to do? We have to drink wine. Now, let's break that down one by one. So first of all, what is chamer medina? So the Shulchan Aruch Harav quotes here that chamer medina is something that has chashivas. It is something that has importance and not something that is cheap or trivial. He says here, v'chol zeh b'mashkim chashuvim k'sheichar. It's a chash of a drink, like beer, v'chiyotze bo. Ava mashkim gruim k'bo mashe korim b'medinos elu kvas, I don't know what that is, o borscht, right, that I know what it is, ein lahem chashivas yoser mimayim. Vein mevarchan alem birchas amazon afilu b'makom shederech rov anshe ha'ir likvo asud aleim. So, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, it can't be anything. You can't make kiddush on borscht. You can't make havdalah on borscht because those are pasnish. Those are not chashiv drinks. It has to be something that is chashiv. Lefi she'enu nikra chamer medina, Ela ma sheyesh lo chashivus ba'osa madina ke'in chashivus yayin b'chol madinas. The same way wine is universally understood to be something that is chashiv, whether you're in France, whether you're in Argentina, whether you're in Chile, whether you're in Napa Valley, or whether you're in Boca Raton, you pour someone a glass of wine, that is a statement of chashivas. That says the Shulchan Aruch Harav is exactly what we are going for here. And therefore, whatever drink we are going to talk about is only characterized as Chamer Medina if, and only if, it has that same level of chashivas as well. And therefore he says in the next paragraph, Ve'afilu eino shtias rov anshei ha'ir, Ella shosin oso leprakim bavad, mibnei chashivu. So therefore, even if it's not something that is readily drunken, in other words, people don't drink it all the time, they drink it in a more limited fashion because of its chashivas, kemo medinos elu, lo nigra mibnei zeh levarech ulekadesh alav, kevin shezeh mibnei chashivu. So in other words, even if only a few people are able to drink it because of its chashivas, its chashivas means its importance, and because it's so important, maybe its price is a little bit higher. So nonetheless, he says, that can still be Chamer Medina. Because the important thing is not necessarily the number of people that are drinking it, but also that there's chashivas alongside with it. And if the chashivas prevents more people from drinking it, he says that's not a problem. V'lachein roi yosir lakos shel bracha min ha-sheicher, v'gam hu Chamer Medina yosir mimenu, kevan shechashiv yosir sherei kol ma'alas hayayin lakos shel bracha einu ala m'nei chashivuso. Right, the reason why we drink wine is dafka because of its chavishivus, not because necessarily everyone drinks wine. And therefore, if we can find another drink that mimics wine's chashivus, then that would qualify, that would characterize itself as Chamer Medina, and therefore we would be okay. He says in the last line, Afal pikein mitzvah min amuvchar b'yayin mimnei chashivuso. Right, he says everyone agrees. Mitzvah min amuvchar. Again, we saw this language in the Mishnah Berurah. If you have wine, everyone agrees that wine is going to be your best option. Right? The whole question is, what happens if I don't have wine? So therefore, it says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, what you try to do is you try to find the beverage that is most comparable to wine in chashivas. Right? What beverage is just as important as wine? That would qualify as Chamer Medina. And that's really what we're looking for. So if you think about it, if you go to a nice party or you go to a fancy event, right, after ordering a glass of wine, what is the next thing you're going to order? So most people are going to order what? One of two things. Either a beer or some other form of alcohol. And we'll get to that in a second. So we know beer is a form of Chamer Medina. That was explicit in the Shulchan Aruch. That was explicit in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Rav Moshe Feinstein offers us slightly different characterization or qualification of what exactly Chamer Medina is. And Rav Moshe Feinstein's criteria is as follows. Is this something that I am drinking to quench my thirst? Or is this something I am drinking to show kavod to the person that I am pouring it for? Right? I might pour you a glass of water, but I'm not pouring you a glass of water because I think you're so chashiv. I'll pour any Tom, Dick, and Harry who comes through my door a glass of water. That's not so impressive. The reason why I pour you a glass of water is because I don't want you to dehydrate. It's very cold. It's very hot in Florida nowadays, right? But if I think you're a very chashiv person, then I might open up a nice bottle of wine. I might open up a beverage for you. So that, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, is how we characterize Chamer Medina. Says Rav Moshe on the fourth source on your source sheet, B'minei mashke shel soda. Right? What about soda? Can I make havdalah on soda? Can I make kiddush on soda? Im yesh lahavdil aleihem kedin Chamer Medina. Right? Can we count that as Chamer Medina? Says Rav Moshe, b'davar mashko shel minei soda. Im yesh lahem din. By the way, Rav Moshe was very frum. He gives both the Yiddish spelling of soda and the Hebrew spelling of soda with an ayin and a hey. Right? He says, im yesh lahem din Chamer Medina. Whether you can make kiddush in the morning or say havdalah on it, that soda is just like water. Why? Even though you might go to a very fancy party and they'll offer you a soda, they're just giving it to you because you're dehydrated. Or it's a very hot day outside and you want something to cool yourself off, right? Think of the Coca-Cola commercials where you hear that crack, right? And then you have the guy who's pouring sweat and they crack open that can of soda and all of a sudden he becomes like an ice cube, right? That's what soda's supposed to do. It's supposed to cool you off, says Rav Moshe. Ve'akavod behem, hu gam kein rak kishet srichim lazeh, right? But the kavod is just that I know you need a drink. I know you're thirsty, so I'm giving you a drink. But not that dafka, I'm showing you kavod by the drink. Therefore, he says in the next paragraph, the third paragraph of Moshe, Ve'achashivos mashkehu, she'ein hashtia machmash she'tzrichim lahem litzima'on, litzima'am, ela shosim osam apalo tzorech legufam, ela b'shvil kavod asuda v'kavod orchem. The definition, according to Moshe Feinstein, of Chamer Medina, is that I'm not pouring this for you because I think you're thirsty. I'm pouring this for you for no other reason other than the fact that I want to show you kavod. There's no other reason. It's not because you're hot. It's not because you're dehydrated. It's simply because I want to show you kavod. And the greatest way I'm going to show you kavod is by pouring you a glass of wine, by opening a beer for you, right? So says Rav Moshe, a little bit different, a little bit of a different spin, similar but different. Shulchan Aruch Harav said it's all dependent on chashivas. Rav Moshe Feinstein saying, how do we define chashivas? And he answers very simply. It's something that I'm not just pouring for you because I think you're thirsty, which I would do for anybody, but it's something that I'm only opening and pouring because I'm showing you kavod. That is the definition of Rav Moshe. So we have here two definitions of Chamer Medina. According to everybody that we've seen so far, whether it was the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal Tanya, or whether it was the Mishnah Berurah, I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch, beer explicitly fits that criteria. And beer is the classic Chamer Medina. Are there other things that fall into the definition of Chamer Medina? Says the Mishnah Berurah at the bottom of page number one, Reish Ayin Beis Sif Katan Lamed, he says, Al Sheikhar, Ve'im Chavav Lo Yayin Saruf, Yayin Saruf is liquor, right? If liquor is so chashuv to you, it's so beloved to you, Yachol lekadesh alav b'yom lechadchila b'minaseinu. Then lechadchila, says the Mishnah Berurah, I'm allowed to make kiddush on it during the day. Shu Chamer Medina, because that is the definition of Chamer Medina, right? You don't come back from a run, and I see you all hot and sweaty. I say, you know what? Who should I pick on right now? You know, Ira, let me pour you a scotch, right? That's not what I do. I don't pour you a scotch because I think you're thirsty. I pour you a scotch because I think you're a chashuv of a guest. Now, which scotch I pour for you will determine how chashuv I think you are, right? If I take out my smoky stuff, it means I think you're really chashuv. If I pour you the non-smoky stuff, then time to find a new friend. But certainly, says the Mishnah Berurah, right, that liquor is yayin saruf. So it would, I'm sorry, it matches that definition of Chamer Medina. And it fits perfectly with what Moshe said, his definition. Ach, she zahir likach kos machzik revius ulishtos mimenu malom lugma. The Mishnah Berurah mentioned something very important that we're going to discuss a little bit later on, which is that you need to drink enough of it. And that's going to be a big source of contention as to how you can make kiddush on scotch or whiskey. He says, ubidieved obishas adchak, she'en yachol lishtos kemelo lugmav, ve'en lo yayin v'shar mashken afilu shtias, kolam asum mistarfin melom lugmav. Let's say you can't drink enough. If you combine everyone to drink the shear, and again, we're going to come back to this, which is why I'm skipping over a little bit now, he says that's going to be enough. So what have we seen so far? We've seen so far that the Shulchan Aruch tells us explicitly that if you do not have wine, you have other options. You have Chamer Medina. He mentions explicitly beer, and then we wondered what are other definitions of Chamer Medina. Whether you paskin like the Shulchan Aruch Harav, or like Rav Moshe, or like the Mishnah Berurah, it's very clear that chashivas plays an important role in it, right? It has to be something chashuv. Rav Moshe's definition is a little bit more detailed, and Rav Moshe says, what does it mean to be chashuv? It means that I'm pouring this for you specifically. Why? Because I want to show you kavod. Not simply because I want to pour for your thirst or because it's very hot outside. So that, says Rav Moshe, is the definition of chashivas, but it's that word chashivas, that I'm doing it because it's important, which defines Chamer Medina. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, that when it comes to liquor, liquor meets that definition of Chamer Medina. So far we have beer, we have liquor as the two definitive things that would qualify as Khamar Medina. When can we rely upon this? So if you turn your page to page number 2, you'll see that not all Kiddushes and Havdalahs were created equally. And this is a critically important point. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Ayin Beis, Seif Tes, B'makom She'ein Yayin Matzoi, when I do not have wine, there are those who say that I can use beer, and there are those who say I shouldn't make Kiddush on beer. U'leharash, he quotes the Rush, Balaila lo yikarish ala shecher, el ala pas. That let's say I do not have wine at night, so what can I make Kiddush on? I can make Kiddush on bread. And we know that there are those who do this, even lechachila, they make Kiddush on bread. Uba boker, right? So it says the Shulchan Aruch that at nighttime, you wouldn't need to use any other drinks, right? If you don't have wine, you don't need to rely on beer, you don't need to rely on liquor because you use bread. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, Uba boker, Yoser Tov lekadesh ala shechar. It's better to use beer than bread. Sheyivarech alav shahakol kodem berchas hamotzi, because we want you to make a brach of shahakol before hamotzi. Why? Right? So says the Shulchan Aruch, there's a difference between night and day. When it comes to night, beer's off the table, liquor's off the table. Why? Because what do we have? We have bread. But during the day, says the Shulchan Aruch, better than bread is using Chamer Medina. Why? He says, because we want you to make another bracha. Why is that bracha so important during the day? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Sheim Yivarech ala pas tchila ein kan shum shinoi. There's no difference if I just make hamotzi. So what does that mean? What is the Shulchan Aruch driving at? What does it mean, she'ein kan shum shinoi? There's no difference. What it means is as follows. Let's say I make Kiddush on Friday night on bread. Do you know that I'm still making Kiddush? Of course you know I'm still making Kiddush. Why? Because Kiddush on Friday night, even without the Bori Pri Agafen, has other elements to it. Right? Yom HaShishi, Vayechulu Hashem. All right, we have other elements to it. And therefore, when I eventually make Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz, you'll understand that I'm accomplishing two goals. I'm both saying Hamotzi, and I'm also saying Kiddush. During the daytime, though, is there that same hecker in place? Yeah, we add in stuff beforehand. But during the daytime, you could simply make Bori Pri Agafen, and you're good to go. I remember a friend of mine was having over a very big posek, and he was very nervous because he says such a very short form of Kiddush. So he says Al Kain in Hagafen. So he was very nervous to say Kiddush in front of this gadol. So he told the gadol, he says, you know what? In my house we have a minhag, then we have gadolim here. You should say the bracha. So the gadol says, okay, what's the big deal? If you're asking me to make a bracha, I'll make a bracha. So he gets up. Everyone's ready for this, vayachulu. No, I'm sorry, vishamru, whatever. He gets up. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Bori Pri Agafen. So my friend laughed. He goes, the irony is, I would have said a longer bracha than he did. Right? So during the daytime, you don't have that hecker. So if you just got up there and made a bracha on bread, would you have known that that was both for Kiddush and for bread? No, there wouldn't have been that hecker. So therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, it's actually better to do it on Sheikhar. It's better to do it on Chamer Medina during the day. Why? Because when I make that shahako before Hamotzi, that is a hecker. That is your way of knowing definitively that I'm doing two things here. I'm saying Kiddush and I'm saying Hamotzi. If I just had bread, then I would not have that capability. And so therefore, says the Mishnah Brura in the second source on page number 2, Hainu debezehu yoser tov me'al hapas, that during the day, saying on Chamer Medina is better than saying it on bread. Kimosh mefarish hatam, as the Shulchan Aruch explained the reason. Aval yayin b'makom shu matzoi vadei varech alav afilu b'yom. But let's say I have wine, so that we've already discussed, that for sure, everyone's going to say, is the better option. Kedemuchach b'simen reish peites siv beis, that's what I shared with you at the beginning. So we're in a little bit of a pickle right now. So number one, we've understood the difference between night and day. That Chamer Medina should never be an option at night. It is an option during the day, and therefore, Kal v'chomar, it would be an option for Havdalah. That's what we've discussed up until this point. The big question is, right, what's the rationale? because the Shulchan Aruch is explicit in here, in the Mishnah Brura was explicit in source number one of the entire source sheet, that if you have wine accessible, you have to use wine. And the Mishnah Brura even said, even if wine is expensive, don't think that's a good excuse not to use wine. And so therefore, what's the heter? What's the kula? Right? The chumrah we understand. The chumrah is, if wine is accessible, you have to use wine. What's the kula? So the Mishnah Brura, in that second source, on the second line, says as follows. Nonetheless, we see in our countries, in our cities, shehayayin biyoker, virov shesias hamedina hu mishar mashkin, that wine is very expensive, and that most people drink other beverages. Lo nagu afilu agedol nahadir acharayayin biyom shehakidish shalahu rak midir rabbanan. Right, most gedolim, he says, aren't chasing after wine. Even right, why? Two reasons. Number one is because it's during the daytime, and during the daytime, kiddush is only derabanan, as opposed to at night where it's a deraisa. And number two, he says, the reason is because rosh dias hamedina hu mishar mashkin. Most people are drinking shar mashkin, and therefore they're gedolim that even though wine is accessible, they're choosing not to drink wine. Right, so what do we have here? We have in this very short Mishnah Brura a very important chumrah and a very important kula. The chumrah is that if you have wine, you should drink wine. And if you have wine, drinking it is mitzvah min hamuvchar, it's definitely the best option. Number two, though, says the Mishnah Brura, how do we see that people are, we see gedolim that are drinking shar mashkim, they're drinking chamer medina instead of wine. He says two reasons. Number one is that's the prevalent beverage in that city. We'll have to understand that a little bit more. And number two, he says, that it's only derabanan. So there's a little bit more wiggle room during the day from what we are used to at night. The Mishnah Brura in Lamed Aleph, the next paragraph, says another important point. He says, "Ubezeh bracha shu mosif kodem asudu heker shu lechavod Shabbos." This is coming back to the comment of why daytime is different than nighttime. He says, because when I make a bracha during the day, a separate bracha than I normally do, that's the heker. That's what we had discussed a little bit earlier. Okay, so we see in the Mishnah Brura a chumrah, and we see in the Mishnah Brura a kula. Rav Ozner in a Shevet Halevi in the next source offers another kula as to why it is, even though wine is available, we see the prevalence of people making kiddush on other beverages like beer or scotch or other forms of liquor. Says Rav Ozner, it's very simple, that if you look in Gemaras, you'll notice that wine was ubiquitous. In other words, it makes sense, right? You and I are used to having fresh, clean, healthy water to drink. But that is not the case in many areas of the world, and certainly at many points in world history, that was not the case. That water, instead of being a source of life, was oftentimes a source of illness. That if you drink unpurified water, it can make you very sick. And so therefore, people didn't drink as much water as we are used to now. What was the most readily available and accessible accessible drink, certainly if you're talking about the land of Israel, more than water? Wine. Wine was ubiquitous in antiquity, in ancient cultures, because it was the healthiest thing to drink. And so at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, literally when you and I are drinking our orange juice or we are drinking our water, they were drinking wine. Says Rav Ozner, however, nowadays, third to last line from Rav Ozner's source, again, this is Shaul Chuvas Shevet Halevi, the third source on page number two, third line up from the bottom, he says, "Bizman hazeh nishtanu hatvayim." But nowadays we see that's not the case, right? What made wine so chashuv back then is not the case right now. Beinyan zeh degam b'makom sheshchiach yain. Even in a place where you could easily go to the grove and get wine, lo naaseh b'yain stam shtiyasam shabneyam. Right, unless you're Phil Zimmerman and you're from France, most people aren't drinking wine the way they used to back then. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't sit down for lunch today, and in addition to my rice and beans that I eat every day, I didn't pour down a glass of wine. Dinner sometimes, a little bit during the coronavirus, right? But it's definitely not as ubiquitous as it was back then. And therefore, if it's nishtanu hatvayim, if it's true that our beverage of choice has changed, then it could be taka that you can use other beverages for kiddush. Again, this is daytime kiddush, not nighttime kiddush. So that's another kula. So we have a chumrah, and we have two kulas. The chumrah is explicit in the Mishnah Berurah. It's explicit in the Mishnah Berurah in two places, which is that if you have wine accessible, definitely mitzvah min hamuchar, you need to use it. Two kulas is number one, the Mishnah Berurah himself quotes it, that you see gedolim that are drinking other beverages. Why? It must be that because it's a derabanan, they're willing to be more lenient, and because that's what most people are drinking. Or in, then you have the commenter of Osner, that this whole idea of nishtanu atavayim, that the teva, the change, the circumstances have changed, and because the circumstances have changed, therefore we are allowed to adapt, and we are allowed to change alongside with it. And so because wine is not as popular now as it was back then, it opens the door for other options. Says Rav Ozner in the last two lines, V'alkein, mashe ayayin, matzo, v'shchiach, b'yir, ein zeh gorim, shelo yikru, gam, shar, mashkim, char, medina, mizman hazeh. Just because wine is accessible doesn't detract from other beverages being called chamer medina. Zeh, hani elias daiti, derech limitzchus. Right, notice he doesn't say that this is what I think you should do. Right, he says, I need to be malamitzchus. I need to find a reason to rationalize those people that are making kiddush on other beverages. So we've gotten past a number of hurdles, right? Hurdle number one is, does scotch even fit the definition of what I can make kiddush on? So the answer is yes and not yes, right? The answer is yes, because we've seen it defined on Chamer Medina. We see that Chamer Medina is an option to make kiddush. You run into a little bit of a roadblock because you do have a Shulchan Aruch who says She'ein Yain Matzoi, who says those words explicitly, only when wine isn't found. And you see the Mishnah Berurah in two places reinforce that notion that if wine is accessible, that is the preferable thing to choose. So alcohol and scotch became an option for us, but it does hit a little bit of a snag. It does hit a little bit of a roadblock along the way. The other big roadblock along the way is how much can you drink, right? How much can you drink? So if you look on page number two, where I actually wrote, how much can you drink? You're welcome. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Ayin Aleph, Seif Yud Gimel, Tzarech Lishtos Mikosh Shal Kiddush Kimelo Lugmav. You have to drink a cheekful. And what is that? Vehu Ruvo Shel Revius. That while my cup needs to hold a Revius, I actually only need to drink Rov Revius. How much is a Revius? Again, we talked about this a little bit Erev Pesach, but let's assume Rav Moshe Feinstein's definition, which is that a Revius is 3.3 ounces. Which means that rove of a revius is 1.7 ounces. So you need a cup that can hold at least 3.3 ounces, and you need to drink at least 1.7 ounces. That is a problem. And the reason why that is a problem is because how large is the average shot glass? The average shot glass is not 3.3 ounces. If it is, then we should probably talk. But the average shot glass is one and a half at most, right? Maybe 2 ounces. I don't know if I've ever seen one like that, right? Most shot glasses are 1 to 1.5 ounces. And if that's the case, then we have a problem. Because according to the Shulchan Aruch, we have not met the minimum shear of how much you can drink. So how do we get around that? So most notably, you have the comment of the Taz, where the Taz says that, you know why a revius is the shear, right? Where did we pick that shear out of? Malo Lugmav, which we define objectively as revius. Says the Taz in the third line, right? Nizol basar derech olam. That we go after what most people do, right? In other words, what a revius signified is significance, right? How much can I drink to display that I'm drinking this as a significant beverage? And Chazal instituted that within wine, significance is a revius. But, says the Taz, right, if you can find a beverage where significance is defined by less than a revius, right, in other words, if I pour you this much wine, is that significant? Now, you would say, Moskowitz, can you do a little better than that? Like, I know when I go to a restaurant and I order a glass of wine. So, some restaurants are a little bit more generous than others. And when I get that glass of wine that they're charging me $11, $12 for, that I know cost them about maybe a dollar, right? For my little glass of wine, maybe at most, right? Depending on how expensive the wine is. So you get a little bit annoyed when they give you a little bit, right? So wine, there has to be a certain amount to demonstrate the significance, to demonstrate the chashivas of that wine. But says the Taz, what if you and I can find a beverage where it's a significant amount if it's less than 3.3 ounces? And what would that be, obviously? That would be scotch, right? If you come to my house and I pour you a l'chaim, and we make a l'chaim on an ounce of scotch, you're not thinking to yourself, ah, that Moskowitz, he's such a cheapskate, right? You're thinking, that's the average amount that's poured for scotch. So therefore, says the Taz, that would be a way of getting around the shear of Revius. Revius was a shear of what was considered a chush of amount, what was considered a significant amount. But if you and I could define a significant amount less than a Revius, God bless, right? And if we could find a beverage that chashivas is defined by less than that amount, matova manai. Says the Magen Avraham on the top of page 3, nice try, Mr. Taz. Right, he quotes, he doesn't even name the Taz. If you look on source page number 3, the first source, the Magen Avraham, he says at the end of the second line, V'yesh rotzin lomar d'al yayin saraf, right, that when it comes to liquor, mivarech bepachos mikazayis, that you can make a bracha on less than a kazayis, on less than a shear. V'li nira d'bayinan kashir, he says, I understand that, I think you still need a shear. Deha bevada yesh yenos chazakim machalim tovim kagom markachas de pirurasa mis whatever veafilu achi bainu kashir. Right, we have other drinks. We have other drinks that are very strong, and yet we've always defined it classically as a revius. De lo chalku chachamim kashiro. Right, when the chachamim established their shirim, they didn't differentiate. It was lo plug. This is how much you have to drink, and that's, I believe, the common practice is that we rely on a revius. So how do we get out of this? Right? If you paskin like the Magen Avraham, and I believe the Mishnah Berurah says we paskin, yes, the Mishnah Berurah says we paskin like the Magen Avraham, then you have a problem. Because it's very nice that there's a shita like the Taz out there, but if the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah are disagreeing with the Taz, so again, we come up against a wall, and it's hard to get away from that wall. So if you look in the next source, Rav Schechter in his Be'ikvei Hatzon quotes the Kasher Glover. And the Kasher Glover says the following, right, and this is based on him. He says there's a difference between ochel and mashke. Mashke, we know that the shear is revius, and by ochel, the shear is a kazayis, which is less than revius. Says Rav Schechter, how do you differentiate what is considered ochel and what is considered mashke? What is considered food and what is considered drink? Rav Schechter says it's based on the following criteria. Whether something quenches my thirst or not. If something is used to quench my thirst, then it becomes a mashke. If something is not used to quench my thirst, then it is considered achila, right? It's not simply liquid versus solid, right? Says Rav Schechter, he says here, in the middle, shebein ochel umashke, einenu talo bezeh, im adavar gosh, o nozel, doesn't matter whether it's a liquid or solid. Ela kol shehu be'ar, Ba'avar ridge, shome le revach boat simono. If it's going to quench my thirst, I'm sure you guys are thinking what that is, but I don't know what that is, right? Dino kamashke. So again, if it's used to quench my thirst, then it's a mashke. V'chol sheino omeid lekach. But if it's not used for that purpose, dino ko'ochel. Then it has the definition of food. Ulufize hayanira shafilu medino sheshosin vodka lerov. Even in communities where they're drinking vodka, ain't shosin oso betoras. I'm sure that's obvious, and I'm just missing it, right? But they're not just doing it as a form of quenching thirst. Umemela ain dino kamashke klal. Therefore, he says it's not has the halachic definition of mashke. Achenucha laduna lav shulai dino kechamar medina elahariu kamarak nozal. So says Rav Schechter, it's a very different definition. If something is not being used to quench my thirst, and instead it's being used for another purpose, then it has the din. It has the halachic characteristic as food. And once it has a definition of food, now we open ourselves up to a different shear. It's no longer revius, but it's a less of a shear of kazayis. And therefore, says the Kasher Glover, that is the halachic rationale why you can make kiddush on something that's less than revius, Because why? It doesn't have the definition of mashke, and therefore it's not subjected to the laws of mashke. So what have we seen up until now? We've seen up until now, right? First, the Shulchan Aruch says if you don't have wine, you can use Chamer Medina. We had to define exactly what Chamer Medina is. We, on broad strokes, defined it as either beer or liquor, right? We have to figure out other definitions in the future, right? Does coffee, orange juice, right? Other definitions of what Chamer Medina would be. L'chumra and l'kula, right? In other words, how makel could we be in that definition of Chamer Medina? We discussed the difference between night and day, where night, says the Shulchan Aruch, you have to use bread, but during the day you should not use bread because we want the extra heker, we want that defining thing that tells me that I'm doing this because Kiddush, and making the bracha of Shahako before that will accomplish that goal. And then we ran into another roadblock though. We said, what about the shiur? And we tried to be malam mitzchus on even if it's less than a shiur, how one would be able to rationalize it. If you look in the Maharsham, and this is what I'll leave you, he quotes Heterim. He says, Aval hey lefanai. So okay, up until now, you have kulas, but they're not like gishmak kulas. Right? In other words, you have kulas. Each posek tries to bend himself into a pretzel. How do you come to this notion of making kiddush on scotch? But like you have lingering in the back of your head, the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch, that like wine is that prevalent thing. So how do we get to this minhag that many have of making kiddush on scotch? Says the Shaul Shuvas Maharsham, Aval hei lefanai, Talmid Chacham Zakin, Shai ba'atzmo b'mamad b'fnei ha'gon or b'ezdin rapshitz, Shetziva l'talmidav l'kaddish b'yom al yayin saraf. That he instructed his talmidim to make kiddush dafka on scotch. Al sluchis katan on a very little amount, kederach shtiyaso. Vein sarach shir kos. You don't need a lot, right? You don't need to make a cup, take a cup this big. You can have a little bit. Ve'agam shahaya lefan of yayin al shulchan amar shemechabdu b'yayin saraf kedei lahoros halach l'talmidim. And he was machbid. That even if you had wine on the table, he still wants you to make it on scotch just to reinforce this idea. Just to drive home to his talmidim this psak halacha. V'chein huad lefanai b'shem agon achaser abezin kamenika shenag kein talmid V'hainu al pi hataz umishum, right? Because he did this on the taz, umishum shekach derech shtiyas uvishtiyas v'sviyas grono. This was his minag as to how he would get a little bit of enjoyment. Therefore, he says in the last paragraph, v'kevan shtiyas yayin saraf nispashet me'od. Since the minag to drink scotch has already become prevalent, v'havei chamer medina lishtos kimat b'chol b'fnei kol suda slochis katan, and we already know that it's meets the definition of chamer medina, V'kasha lishtos yosir m'nei charifus. And we know that drinking more scotch is going to be very hard because it's going to give you ulcers. L'chein shiro gamlin and kiddush b'kach. Therefore, the shir of kiddush is going to be that amount as well. And so the Maharsham in his tshuva is melamed chus. He says, we see gedolim who are doing it. And what are they relying on? He says they're relying on that taz. They're simply posking like the taz that the shir, the amount is going to be different because, as the Taz had said, it goes by, right, what? It goes by what's significant. Back then, a revius of wine was significant, but by scotch, other amounts are significant. No one would complain if I poured you a shot of 30-year-old Lafroig. No one would say, Rabbi Moskowitz, he's shortchanged me. Right? You would say, what a kavod that Moskowitz poured me this amount. And so therefore, they're relying on that comment of the Taz. And so what I tried to present to you today is a little bit of a summary of the sugya of making kiddush on scotch or whiskey. First of all, you have to define wine versus chamer medina. Then you have to define chamer medina. You have to define the difference between night and day. And lastly, you have to come up to this whole idea of the shir, right? Is the shir going to fit or is it not? Do I need a revius, which is going to be very hard, as the Maharsham says. It's not going to be good for your belly, right? Or is it enough if I fit a lower amount, because a lower amount is considered chashivas, as the Taz articulated. So again, I want to give everyone a tremendous yashkoah.